Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Elizabeth Licata from Buffalo Spree. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Mark.
Well, since it is holiday time, we're going to shy away from delving into anything controversial, such as why the city felt it necessary to create a kerfuffle last week over the holiday lights on Elmwood. We won't talk about that. We're going to focus on a couple of good things happening this holiday season in Buffalo. The first is not necessarily related to the holidays, but it might be something that expats coming home might want to check out. It's a new exhibit at the Birchfield Penny Arts Center titled Shiver, created by Buffalo native and City Honors graduate Colleen Ludwig. Now, Elizabeth, you and your husband had a chance to see it, so
yes.
Tell us about Shiver.
I've heard about it, and then, of course, Bruce Adams wrote this wonderful review for us, and I had to see it. And we combined the visit, as we always do. We went to the Birchfield Penny, and we also went to the Albright Knox. Why not? And so this is something on Elmwood Avenue, so we do have a connection with the lights. It's a really fun show. And as we went through the Birchfield Penny, I was struck by how every exhibition that they had would be great for a family visit, I thought. They all deal with different things. They're very different from each other. But I don't think that you really need to be a super sophisticated art patron to enjoy these shows.
Now, you need to read. I encourage you to read Bruce Adams' article in Buffalo Spree. We'll be touching on some of the points he makes here, but the article is excellent, and it'll give you a good picture of what this exhibit is all about. It really engages the senses.
Oh, yes. All the senses, almost. I don't know how much smell there was that I noticed. That's probably a good thing. But yes, it's as Bruce discusses, first thing you see is the outside of this little square room that you need to enter to, you know, engage the interactive exhibition. The guts of it that make it run are all on the outside, so you can see all the wires and circuitry and so on. Then you go in, and as it senses your presence, wherever you go, these little rivulets of water come flowing down the skin, the inside skin of this wall, and it's really a lot of fun, and I think kids would love it. And you should also, but you should have someone watching from outside, because then you can see the little lights go on, and it makes sounds too, little kind of clicking sounds.
Yeah. It gives the viewer
the sense too,
that it's a living thing.
Yes, yes,
that's cool.
Yes, it's like it is like a skin, and the inside of it somewhat, and the water coming down it. So it's very sensual, and it is like a living thing, as you say.
And it's, make no mistake, it's art, but it also has an aspect of biology to
oh, yes.
it, because Ludwig, from what I understand from the article, wants viewers to heighten their awareness of their own skin.
Right, of how everything is sort of, electrons are firing, I mean, we're made up of a lot of the elements, I suppose, that make up Shiver, just in different ways, right? And so everything's interconnected and firing and changing and, you know, flowing. You know, there's all kinds of liquids. We're almost all liquid, as you see wall text in the exhibition state. We're mainly just a bag of walking bag of liquid that's always flowing every which way. And so there's definitely a parallel to be made there.
Now, throughout the course of my career, I've always found it most challenging to produce a radio piece that focuses on the visual arts, because the only visual aspect of radio is the listener's imagination.
That's right.
And it's a little easier for you because you can share pictures in Buffalo Spree, but I get a sense that the visual arts are important to the magazine.
The visual arts are very important to us. I think, you know, when you have a print publication like ours that is really dependent on artists create our publication. So, that's one of the reasons I love writing, having lots of coverage of the visual arts. Our designers enjoy laying it out. They like looking at it. But I think that, to me, visual art in Buffalo is very special. Of course, we talk about our vibrant theater scene, but I think our art scene, and we'll be having an art issue of Spree soon, so you know, in March, is equally vibrant, if not more, in terms of its stature. It's the starting at the top with the incredible stature of the Albright Knox, which is such an important institution, and that's really internationally. Not just even for Buffalo, not just for the U.S. It's an institution that's known internationally. And then you have other places like Hall Walls that is, to a certain extent, also known internationally. You have a lot of small galleries near where I live on Allen Street. You have the Birchfield Penny with its wonderful new building and its collection of local artists. And then nearby you have the Castellani Art Museum, Niagara University, where I've worked. And I suppose the one thing we don't have is a commercial gallery scene, but that is very hard for a city Buffalo size to sustain.
Yeah. Now, in the January issue coming out in a couple of weeks, you will be focusing on some of the activity going on at the Albright Knox?
Yes. Two shows. I was fortunate enough to also see the Anselm Kiefer show that is at the Albright Knox. We went, saw that, and just it's mainly three big paintings. And then there is also a show by drawings, very colorful, somewhat poppy and cartoony drawings by Ken Price, which is reviewed by Bruce Adams in the same issue. So we'll have two back-to-back art reviews. And this is the great thing about being the editor, Mark, is like if I want to have two art reviews, if I want to have four art reviews, I can.
Well, let's move on to some holiday cheer.
Yes.
Specifically, the drink known as the Tom and Jerry.
The Tom and Jerry, which is very important at this time of year to many, many Buffalonians. Maybe more important than art to them, it could be. Our food editor and senior editor, Krista Glennie-Seishu, has, and I mispronounced your name again on purpose, Krista, has compiled a list of places where you can get Tom and Jerry's in her December online food news column. And it's quite extensive. And she also links to, we did an article about them a couple years back. So she links to that article and its recipe for Tom and Jerry. So you can make your own Tom and Jerry, or you can go to any one of, I think there's as many as like at least eight places and order one, which might be easier. It's not an easy drink to make.
I've never had one, but I'm about
yes,
to.
Yes, you
because
are.
You
I'm
have
going to
bought
pour you one right
the
now.
The ingredients. See, this is why I love this press pass, because
yes.
No other press pass do we have liquor involved.
Well, they could. I don't know why they don't. Now, this is, it's almost like a dessert, because you have to make a batter. You have to make meringue. Then you mix the meringue with another mixture with egg in it. There's a lot of egg in this drink. Mm-hmm. And then you have spices, like holiday cookie spices, and then you have sugar in it. So it's a sweet drink. So I'm starting with rum. Mm-hmm. You can make it with rum, or you can make it with rum and brandy, or you can make it with whiskey. But I had a nice barrel-aged rum at home. So that's what I'm using.
So you're not going out and buying commercial eggnog for this. It's
no, it's not,
it
this
right,
is not
do,
eggnog.
Okay.
Yeah, this
it's
is
sort of like eggnog, though. Am I right?
Or? You know, I guess it is somewhat like it. Isn't eggnog served cold, though?
Yes, it is.
So I guess this would be sort of like a hot eggnog.
Okay.
And also, Krista recommends making it with milk or coffee. I'm actually adding hot water, which is, I think, the thing that most of the bars add. And because I just couldn't face bringing coffee in here. It's like it's quite a production to bring these drinks in. So
now I had
so
heard
appreciative.
I had heard of the Tom and Jerry, but I always thought it was some concoction named after the cartoon characters. But in reading, Krista's article, I come to find it predates it by about 100. It predates the cartoon.
There you go, Mark.
Thank you. By about 100 years. This dates to the mid 19th century.
Yes, yes, when, you know, cocktails began to be invented, and hot drinks were very popular during those times. You know, I'm sure you've read Dickens and how they always have rum punch, and this is, which is another favorite. I like to make that. That's a really good drink, too. So,
let me take a sip.
It might need to be mixed up a little more, but I really don't mind the taste of rum that much.
Very good. Very good. And nice and warm on a cold day. Now, I understand this became very fashionable in the 1950s, that there were special punch bowls with matching mugs made, and they're popular items in antique shops today.
Oh, yeah. You can buy just about anywhere any number of different types of Tom and Jerry punch bowls and matching cups. And you can, more modern, there's like Tom and Jerry mugs that you can get. I used to have some, but I put them in the dishwasher, and now they just say like T and O or something.
Now, you can get a Tom and Jerry, and if you can't get to your computer, I'll quickly go through the places. Boomerang's on Niagara Street, The Place on Lexington, Kohl's on Elmwood, McPartland's on Worley Drive, Rohall's Corner on Amherst Street, the Glen Park Tavern in Williamsville, and Schwabel's in West Seneca. But due to its unfortunate accident last week where a car hit the building, you might have to wait until right before Christmas.
Yes, you should call them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where you can get the Tom and Jerry. And let me take another sip here before we wrap up.
Here's to you, Mark. Happy holidays again.
Happy holidays, yes, indeed. Thanks for bringing in the mixings for a Tom and Jerry. And once again, you can find out more, Krista Glennie-Seyshu, on her food blog, Buffalo Spree. Now, I would recommend a couple of things from the December issue if you don't have it. If you're into nostalgia like I am, Dana Saylor Furman, who has been a guest on our press pass here, did a wonderful article looking back at the holiday traditions, the M&A's windows. But what she does is brings it up to date and talks about what's being done now, especially in University Heights.
Yes, they're recreating a lot of these windows. And as you know, in Lancaster, they have the Village of Lancaster. They have some nice holiday windows that have been done. And so it's something that people really miss. Everyone talks about the AM&A's windows. So I think it's really nice that it's, you know, they're picking it up and bringing it back into the city again.
Also, the favorite things.
Oh, yes. Actually, we owe that to Krista. It was her idea to color code a bunch of things that various things that we enjoy. It seemed kind of holiday-esque without really being literally holiday. And it was fun. It was an adventure putting together because we didn't really understand how it was going to work ourselves.
Yeah.
So it took a lot of – it was a bit painful at times working with our, you know, our designers, like, what are you doing here? What are – you know, but
– very creative, I thought, because you're talking about food, you're talking about clothing, you're talking about places, and you made it work with the theme of colors.
Right, right. And some of them are experiences. They aren't all things you can buy, so it's not like a catalog or anything like that. It's really – it could be us, you know, looking at the sky, or it could be a theater curtain, or it could be doing something that you enjoy.
I wanted to share this one last thing because you liked the visual scene of St. Paul's Cathedral and the Guarantee Building, and that's one of your favorite sites to see.
Oh, yes.
And I'm one of my favorite sites now that we're here in downtown Buffalo at Horizons Plaza. I look out the newsroom at night, and the scene is unparalleled. City Hall, Erie County Hall with the statues at the top, the clock tower. It's beautiful. I will just stand there and just look at the skyline of Buffalo. It's remarkable.
You're very lucky here. You have a great view here because you can see the courthouse, City Hall. You've got the Statler. You can see the Avant. You can see a lot from here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in, as always. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Elizabeth Licata of Buffalo Spree. I'm Mark Scott, WBFO News.